hotel manager told the Gideons, as they tried to present the Bibles for the rooms at a hotel in Malinville, Benin, in West Africa. This group of Gideons called a camp was especially important to me because I was visiting them and they told me about this hotel. You see, a year earlier, God had opened the Malinville camp as I went there to this primarily Muslim city, and God gave me an Assembly of God pastor that led me to some Christian men, and we formed a camp there, or a group of Gideons. And when I came back the second year to visit them, they told me, you know, Rick, there's only two hotels in town for us to put Bibles in, and it's discouraging because the one says to us, your book is offensive to our guests. And so I said, well, brother, why don't we go to the president's house, the president of the camp, go to his house. He had cold water there. And I said, let's have some water and let's pray for this going to visit this manager. I'd like to talk to him. So after our president had prayed, he lifted the roof of his house, by the way, as he prayed. But when we got on the motorcycles and went towards the hotel, we had a couple of cases of hotel Bibles with us, just in case they would take them. And we went into the front lobby of that hotel. And a young boy was at the counter, and he said that the manager of the hotel was sleeping and could not be disturbed. And so I had four Gideons and the camp president there, and I said, well, we'll sit in the lobby and wait for him to wake up. And so as we sat there, the boy came back and said, you know, his wife will talk to you now. And she is his wife, and she will talk to you, even though the manager is sleeping. So I said to myself, this is how the Lord's going to answer the prayer, is through this wife. And when she came, I told her all about our hotel Bibles, how we're going to put them in each room, and people who come to the hotel and they come to the end of themselves, they can read this book and know what it is to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And it will bring them comfort, and they're brand new, and they were provided by the churches in America like Oakwood Bible. And I told her all about it, and then she said, you know, those books are offensive to our guests. Our guests are all Muslim, and we don't want your book here at this hotel. And, you know, I had come a long way from America, so I said some other things. I said, you know, the books had been shipped at great cost here, and all the churches gave them voluntarily. They're so beautiful, and I went through several things. And all she could say to me was, no, no, no. And as I was looking at my shoes, thinking about what to say next, she said, besides, if you put them in the rooms, they would steal them. And that just shifted me into another gear. I went into this higher gear and I said, well, you know, the president is right here. He can bring you Bibles when someone takes one, and we'll give you some extra ones to put in the rooms today so that if someone takes them, it's okay. You can replace them. And I said, in America, they say it's the most stolen book in the world is the Bible. And she thought for a while, and I was waiting for another no, oh man of faith that I was. But instead she said, well, if you don't mind them stealing them, you can put them in all 28 of our rooms. And I was flabbergasted that God had answered the prayer. And that's what we do through your partnership with you, is we're the Gideons International. You know, we're an association of business and professional men, and our mission is similar to yours, but we want to win the lost to Christ through our partnership in a camp and through our personal witnessing and the distribution of God's Word in 200 countries around the world and 101 different languages. Praise God. And you know, the only picture I have of that incident in that hotel is this one, where these men, these two Gideons, are coming out of the front door of the hotel with an empty box. And there they are coming out of the hotel, and we were rejoicing because God answered our prayers in ways that we could not have imagined, that God would change her heart. And it's a wonderful thing when you consider Ephesians 3:20 that says, so it is with our God. He could do exceeding abundantly above anything we could ask or think. And that's our God. He answers our prayers. Thank you to Oakwood Bible Church for providing testaments that we could take and distribute. You know, there's a happening around the world that you might not be familiar with, but people often go to hotels to commit suicide. It's a strange phenomenon, but it happens very often. And it happened in the case of Ray Doherty. Ray Doherty was in our Gideon magazine in 2017, a picture of him, and this is a picture of the magazine. And he had returned from the wars in Iraq with two deployments, and he had post-traumatic stress disorder. And Ray Doherty was abusing, he became addicted to his meds, and he was abusing alcohol, and he was about to, seemed like he had come to the end of his life. He had no hope, and he had no future. And Ray Doherty became depressed, and it got to a point where he was contemplating suicide. And one day when he was off work, he went to his friend's house and borrowed a gun with an intention to go to the range and shoot that day, and shoot at the range. But as he borrowed the gun and the ammunition, he got in his car, and there was like an unseen force that was turning the wheel of his car. It was like forcing the wheel to turn into a local motel, and I've got a picture of it. It's called the Snug Inn Motel in Appleton, Wisconsin, where Ray lived. And he pulled into the Snug Inn Motel, and he got a room, and he went into the hotel, and he was sitting on the edge of his bed with that weapon in his hands, and he was going to do it. But on the nightstand was an open Bible placed there by the staff of the hotel. And the reason it was placed there was this man, Donald Goodman. You see, Donald Goodman owned the Snug Inn Motel. And Donald Goodman happened to be a Gideon. And he told his housekeeping staff, don't just put the Bible in the room, put it in the room opened up on the nightstand. And when Ray Doherty was in that room, he looked at the Bible open, and he glanced at it, and it said, in Matthew 4, it said, follow me. He picked up two words. It said, follow me. And he started reading that book in his desperation, in his hopelessness, in his despair. He started reading that book. And it wasn't long after he started reading that the Holy Spirit began convicting him. And he put his hands up in the air like this, as if to reach for God. And as he reached up in the air, he said, God, if you'll forgive me, if you'll heal me from this sickness I have with alcohol and the drugs, Lord, if you'll help me, I'll come to you and I'll serve you the rest of my life. And that day in the Snug Inn Hotel in Appleton, Ray Doherty got saved. And he became a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, when he drove out of that hotel, he was taking the gun back to his friend's house. And he was a new creature in Christ. He looked at a little church on the side of the road. He'd been by it 100 times. And he said, I'm going to that church on Sunday. I'm going to go there. And here's the church. It's called the Calvary Chapel Church in Appleton, Wisconsin. And the pastor is Dwight Duville. And Ray Doherty walked into that church Sunday morning, and he was greeted by some friendly folks like this church did me this morning when I came. He liked it, and the pastor took him under his wing. Pastor Duville, that's his picture there. I got it off their website. He started nurturing Ray Doherty, and it wasn't long before Ray Doherty became a mature Christian, a man of God. And as he continued there over a year, he became involved with the Gideons and became a Gideon. And there's no Gideon in America or around the world, any place, that when they place a Bible in a hotel room, has more commitment in doing so than Ray Doherty. He knows what a Bible can do. You see, when we give this little testament to kids in schools and universities and the prisoners in the jails and the prisons, and we place scriptures in the hotels and hospitals and in doctors' offices and to the military and police around the world, they open the book and they read the pages of the book. There's no pastor there, there's no church, there's nothing else, but the Holy Spirit draws the reader through the words on the page to the Lord Jesus Christ and can change lives. And it happens over and over again. It happens all over the world. We hear the testimonies as we travel, and it's a wonderful thing. You see this picture of the cases of scriptures? It's thousands of scriptures in boxes. This is a picture I took when I was in Liberia at the country storage facility as it's about to go out to all the camps in Liberia. By the way, camps have nothing to do with camping. It's just a group of Gideons, and they're called a camp. You see that picture? It reminds me, though, as I look at it, of all the scriptures that have been placed, purchased, and sent out by Oakwood Bible over the last decade or so. It's amazing, because your commitment, your enthusiasm, even your joy in even getting a shareholder's report, that's what this is. It's as if you're a shareholder, not interested in a stock or a business or revenues, but interested in what the scriptures have done throughout the world. That's why I'm here, to give you a shareholder's report on the money that's been given through offerings that are taken at the end of services here. You see, we don't email you or call you or send you a letter. We just come once a year to share in a church what God is doing around the world, and we need help placing scriptures. You see, when the people in the foreign countries, the international countries, give the Bibles out, they live there. They're indigenous. They live there. You don't have to pay them to pass out the Bibles. You don't have to train them in the language. You don't have to set them up in your missions budget in any way, shape, or form. We go there and start the camps, and then they work there as indigenous Gideons, and they're faithful. All we need are the scriptures. That's all we need, and that's what Oakwood Bible has supplied. Look at them, boxes and boxes. You know what's in each box? 100 of these testaments. They were $1.35 a piece, so one box would cost us $135. But because of printing arrangements around the world in large volumes, we've got that price down to $1.20. So a box of scriptures now only costs $120 instead of $135. So if you were thinking of putting a box of scriptures on the table for us to pass out, it's now only going to be $120 check made out to the Gideons International. What a glory it is to give lost people the Word of God. So may I tell you a little shareholder's report about what's going on around the world? This is in Kenya, and God has given me the opportunity to serve as a regional field officer in Africa, and I've been able to make 14 trips there because I go there to visit Gideon groups. And then I also start new Gideon camps in areas where there is no Gideon presence. And so this all came about when I signed up to pay my own way to go to an international scripture blitz in Kenya. And this school that you're looking at here in Nairobi is 700 students. It's an average-sized school, pretty big school. But it took 7 boxes of scriptures to give them each a copy of the Word of God. And it's amazing that I get to share the gospel message. I don't have to be ashamed of the gospel. I can tell them all about the Lord Jesus Christ and how they can be forgiven and they can repent and turn to Christ as their Savior. And then give them a book so they can learn about how it is to know Him and to love Him and to serve Him. And then we point them to a church. We tell them that they must join an evangelical church. You know, Ray Doherty, that testimony I just shared, did you see the tie-in between the Gideons and the church? Ray Doherty went to a hotel room and got a Bible that had been placed by the Gideons, but that Bible was paid for by the church. Then when he left the hotel, he went to the little white church with Pastor Duvall, and he grew in the Lord. That was the pastor that discipled him. You see, we're not always able to disciple them. When I went to Michigan State and we passed out 6,000, we couldn't disciple all those students. We just gave them a book. And so we point them to a church. That's where they get disciples. So what a partnership we have between the Gideons and the church. And so now my trips to Africa as a regional field officer are financed by the dues that Gideons pay every year. That's how they reimburse me for my flight and my trips to Africa. But when we travel to a country as a Gideon to do a distribution, we pay our own way, and that's how we go on international scripture blitzes. So let me first take you to some scripture, because before each trip, I'm blessed to be able to have a three-day period of prayer and fasting, and I contemplate how I can go about my trip without any complaining, and to try to go through the whole three-week trip and never once complain, but only thank God for everything that's happening in spite of uncomfortable situations. And so some of the scriptures that I study during the fast are like this one in Psalms 37, to commit your way to the Lord and trust in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. Well, that's a wonderful theme verse for a trip, and I used it many times on my a total of 16 trips altogether, 14 to Africa and 2 to Greece. The other verse, Psalm 91, deals with my own protection. It says, He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings shall thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler, and thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day. Psalm 91. And I trusted the Lord as I traveled in the midst of Ebola and AIDS and various malaria, mosquitoes, and all of this was going on, and I trusted the Lord, and He was with me as I traveled and kept me all those trips, and I never got sick or hurt or injured in any way. There was much prayer going on, but it has been wonderful trips. So the first place I'll take you to is the nation of Benin. You see the little yellow country there on the left of the continent. That's Benin, but on the right, that's Benin blown up a little bit. It's the shape of a chicken leg. You can see it. It's shaped just like a chicken leg. And when you land in Benin, you must travel from the Cotonou down at the bottom all the way to the top for me to start visiting the camps. That's where I was assigned. And God gave me 5 new camps to open up in northern Benin. And it was a wonderful thing. And there were so many stories that I heard about people coming to Christ. The one on the left, the picture on the left, is a man that came up to me at a church in Malinville, that same city where we'd had that hotel. And he came up to me and he said, I know you. You gave me a Bible last year at the prison in Kandy. And I said, you know me, brother? And he said, yes, I do. And he told me the story of how after I left, unbeknownst to me, he started a Bible study inside that prison. And 14 of those men came to Christ during the Bible study, and 6 of them were Muslim. And I thought to myself, I had no clue what was going on, but God did. And that's the Isaiah 55:11. It says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. So I didn't know there was going to be a Bible study, nor did I know that 6 Muslims would come to Christ, but God did. And He sent that messenger to me as an eyewitness to tell me that He was there at the Bible study, and those Bibles made a difference. You helped put those Bibles on the ship that was shipped over there, and then in my car as I went out to that prison and passed out those 4 boxes of scriptures to that prison, where Eve's Yargo came across my table and took a Bible. And a year later, I wouldn't recognize him, but he recognized me and told me his story. Amazing. And the girl on the right, Lucy, was out in front of my hotel in Kandy, Benin, in West Africa. It's the God Bless Hotel. It's one of my favorite hotels. I stay there every time I go there. I've been there 4 times. She said, who is this white man from America? To my interpreter. It's all French there, French speaking. Interpreter said, we're Gideons. We're getting ready to go to a pastor banquet to appreciate our pastors. And she said, Gideon. And then she ran off and went to her room. And when she came back, she had a little testament in her hand. You can see her holding it there. She said, 26 years ago, her brother came home from school and had a testament. He wasn't interested in it. He put it on the table of their hut. And she picked it up. And she started reading it, and she was very interested. And she started absorbing it. And she became a follower of Christ by reading her Bible and joined a church. And there it is again, Isaiah 55:11. You see, the Gideons thought the book was for a boy. They gave it to a boy. But God meant the book for a girl. And there she is, Lucy Marymount. She's the one that got the Bible. But none of those Gideons to this day know anything about this. It just so happens that she came up to me and told me through my interpreter the story. And then what she said kind of blew me away. She said, I take it everywhere I go. I had it in my room when I found out you were here, and I was reading it earlier this morning. She says, it brings me joy, brings me comfort and peace and contentment as I travel, and I take it everywhere I go. And I said, well, Lucy, let me give you a brand new one. And I shoved it towards her, and she pushed it away. She wanted to keep her 26-year-old Bible because it had been underlined and had parentheses and little notes and things. And so what a deal. I go to Benin to start new camps, and people come up to me and tell me stories like that. We call them testimonies, of course. And let me take you now to the Muslim nation of Senegal. When I went to Senegal, I saw mosques on every corner. And this picture on the right is a mosque that was right across the street from my hotel. And lo and behold, when I came out in the morning to find out what the noise was, the chanting, the eerie chanting, I came out and looked across the street and saw what you see in that picture. In fact, I took that picture. And there it was, a huge mosque right across the street from my hotel that I had not seen in the dark when I checked in the night before to this hotel. And I said, Lord, how am I going to start a camp in a place like Kadougou, Senegal, when it's 98% Muslim? And the Lord answered that prayer in a miraculous way. I mean, he was able to hook me up with a Assembly of God pastor. And that pastor said, oh, I'm glad you caught me tonight because I'm leaving for a trip to a seminar tomorrow morning early. But here's a list of some men from my church that might be Gideons. And I left his house with a list. And the next morning, there I am taking a picture of the mosque. And I have in my pocket a list of 7 men. I have no idea how I'm going to find them. But there's a list of 7 men. And as I go back to my hotel trying to find some coffee, a man showed up on a motorcycle and said, I understand you visited my pastor and you're interested in starting a new work for Bibles. And I said, yes. And he said, well, I'm very interested. My name is Paul. And he said, I will come to your training and learn about the Gideons and perhaps I can join. And Paul was a businessman. And I said, yeah, but Paul, what about these other 6 guys on this list? He says, oh, I know them all. I can take you to them all. And he took off on his motorcycle, and I'm telling you, he never looked back. He just took off, run, he took off, and we had to follow him, my interpreter, driver, and myself. And boy, did he take us to some places trying to find these men. And all of them wanted to come to our training, and God performed a miracle. He started a camp. There they are on the right, the Kadougou camp. There they are with some of their kids. The picture on the left was the new camp that God started in Tambacounda. The reason why I tell you this blessing of starting these camps, it's quite a wonderful thing. It's going to be kind of like a legacy, I think, for me, because as I go on to glory, these camps that were started, hopefully, are going to keep going, and passing out the Word of God and winning people to Christ for who knows how many years after I'm gone. And so God's given me this wonderful thought that there's a legacy there in those camps that he used me to start. But moreover, when we start a camp, we have to supply them eventually from America with 20,000 scriptures. 20,000. So that they can take them to the schools and start putting them in those prisons and in the hospitals and in the hotels and to the military. Sometimes you need 12 boxes just for the 1,200 military. And then the police force. And this is all throughout the camp area. So you need 20,000. So as the Tambacounda camp and the Kadugu camp were started, an order was placed when I returned to America, and churches like yours provided funds that paid for scriptures. And by the way, a dollar was given and a dollar was invested in the scriptures. There's no overhead or administrative cost taken out. It's $1 given, $1 used for scriptures. It's a 100%. So today, after our time together, we'll take up this offering. And you know, 100% of that offering will go to scriptures. And I will promise that they'll be taken to people who need the Lord like this. This is a wonderful thing. The Lord also has given me trips to Gabon. You can see the map of Gabon and the Republic of Congo. And you can see here in Kulamutu, Gabon, a picture of a school that I distributed to. They're receiving their testaments. Part of my shareholders' report for you is to show you scriptures that I personally gave to these students in Kulamutu. And there they are with their scriptures. So it's not pie in the sky or what's going to happen. It's real. We give the Bibles to them as quick as we can get them there. And so that's Kulamutu, Gabon. These are a couple of auxiliary. They are the wives of Gideons, and they have the white medical testaments ready to go to the hospital with me to pass out to the hospital staff. And what a wonderful thing it is to be able to ask the auxiliary to have the responsibility of distributing the white medical testaments to the workers in the hospital in the countries I go to. And as I teach them our policies and procedures, the auxiliary are so important to us as they pray for us, and they have the responsibility of many distributions. It's a ministry where you can work as a man and a wife together. You don't have to be separate. You can be together. And we need help from your church. Some man and woman that would want to be a part of our ministry to join and become a Gideon and an auxiliary. This picture is in Greece. It shows the map of Greece, and down to the bottom of the country is the Athens, and I was able to start a new camp in North Athens, and then I went up to the top of the country and visited a camp in Thessaloniki, they call it, you call it Thessalonica, and then also I saw Philippi. We don't have a camp there, but I arranged to get one started the following trip. And then I went over to Alexandroupolis and started a new camp over by the Turkey line. And the picture you're seeing is in the middle is the president of the new camp in Alexandroupolis. And when I nominated him as president, he broke down and cried. He was so flabbergasted that he would be president of the Gideon camp, like Brother John Bowes is in this camp in Kalamazoo South. He was the president of the Alexandroupolis camp. And you know why he was a Gideon and why he was a president of the camp? Because a pastor in the church or someone in the church recommended him to us to be a godly man. And we talked to him about it, and he agreed to come to our meeting and to train about it and decide if he wants to fill out an application and become a Gideon. And many thousands do it, and he did it, and now he's the president of the Alexandroupolis camp. So that's another wonderful thing. And this year in February and March, I traveled to Uganda. And there's a map of Uganda, and one of my stops was in Kampala, and there's a couple of girls at a school receiving testaments. This is a shareholder's report. I'm showing you pictures of what your money has purchased. They got their Bibles, these two girls. The picture says it all. And then on Super Bowl Sunday, on February 5th, 2017, I was at a church to speak in Uganda, and the pastor said, you know, when I was in school, he was introducing me to speak, but he started talking about the Gideon Testament. He said, I hated the Lord when I was in school. All I wanted to do was push people away when they started talking about Jesus Christ. I didn't want anything to do with them. But in my senior year in high school, I was taking a class in Uganda called Divinity Class. And part of his assignment was to write a paper on the New Testament. And that was assignment was, he said, early in the week, like Monday or Tuesday. That Thursday of that week, in his school, he received a testament from the Gideons. He had not seen these before. And he started reading it, and he's an intelligent man. David Wattam is an intelligent man. And he started noticing the consistency in the four Gospels. And when he read those Gospels, there was consistency there. And even through his human logic, he could say, this is real. This is truth, what I'm reading. And he began to believe. You see, he was reading the book, and God was convicting him of the truth. And David Wattam turned in his paper, and David Wattam became a Christian by reading his testament. And instead of going to banker school, after he graduated from high school, he went to seminary. And when he went to seminary, he became a pastor, and he was the pastor of the church that I spoke at on Super Bowl Sunday, the Church of God in Uganda. I have forgotten the city. But you know, he can preach. I'm an eyewitness. I saw him preach for an hour and a half. That was after my message. My message was 10 minutes. But he preached for an hour and a half. And David Wattam became a Christian through a book that you sent to Uganda. Thank you for sending it. And this is a picture of some inmates. We never are allowed to take pictures of inmates. But the guy who took me into this room with about 25 inmates said, sure, you can take a picture. And they took a picture in that room. But you know, every prison I go to, I get to pray with the inmates. And I get to try to share Christ with them. And if they want to commit their lives to Christ, they come up and kneel and pray. And I don't doubt it. It's between them and God. I don't question, do they do this for every speaker that comes in this prison? You know, I don't do that anymore. I did when I first started, but not anymore. It's up to them. Well, in this particular room, there were 9 of them that committed their lives to Christ the day I was there. And it's because I was able to give them the Word of God and give them the gospel and talk to them about repentance. And so they were gloriously saved. I saw it. You can help us another way through these Gideon cards. They're out there in the lobby there. And you know, as you send one of those cards, they're wonderful. They're free. But inside the card is an inner envelope where you can send to the Gideons. It's an honor system where you can send a check to the Gideons, but you have no cost to buy the card. And you can send it to the loved one of a deceased person in memory and purchase like 5 or 10 scriptures in memory of the lost loved one. And you can also send out friends of, in recognition or in praying for you. We have various cards that are out there in the display. I'd love for you to pick one up, send it to someone like you would a normal card from the drugstore, but take the inner envelope out and you can always send us some money for Bibles. Your insert today has an envelope that you can tear off. This is not for today's offering, this is for the future. If you've come today and you are not prepared to give an offering, you can take this home and tear off this envelope. It's already addressed. All you have to do is put your offering in it and put a stamp on it and mail it. And it also has a credit card leaflet there where you can use a credit card to purchase scriptures. It's only $120 for 100 now, so that wonderful number of $1,200 would put 10 boxes on the table for a large school in the Republic of Congo. And we will pass them out to 1,000 kids in a large school. So I want to close with this story of this girl who rolled her tire out in front of the God Bless Hotel you know, she was rolling her tire and she was very fast, and I took this picture. And her mother said that she rolls the tire from when she gets up in the morning until she goes to bed at night. She just, that's all she wants to do is roll that tire. And her feet must be made out of the stuff that they make Crocs out of. I mean, her feet were like, you know, she could run across rocks and everything. It was amazing. She'd even go up to the top of the mountain and let the tire go, and then she'd run down to the bottom and catch it when it came down. And so when her mother said she was, that's all she wanted to do, I started thinking of her future. And I knew that tire was not going to fulfill. The tire was not going to give her happiness later in life. It was only temporary. It would be lost. It would be deflated. It would be broken. Or she would not be able to run. But when she hits the fifth grade, you see, she can receive a testament. And she can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And this will change everything in her life. She can become a student to witness to other students. She can become a woman who dates and gets married, and she can be a godly wife. And then when she has children, she can be a godly mother. What a wonderful change. She doesn't have to be counting on her tire. She can count on the Lord Jesus Christ, a risen Savior. Just like you have committed your life, she can commit her life to Christ. So we're not wasting our time. We're not just going through the motion, the pie in the sky. We are getting the word out, and you're helping us, and we're thankful, and you have received a shareholder's report, because we want you to know what's going on in the ministry. And may I just tell you that it's been a wonderful weekend, finishing up the week. I've been very busy finishing up. As you sang my favorite song, Ancient Words, that I've been inside mosquito nets in various countries and had my phone and brought that up if they have Wi-Fi. Bring that song up and listen to it many hundreds of times in Africa late at night as I'm trying to dodge the malaria mosquitoes and the heat. I'm listening to Ancient Words, and I'm thinking we're passing out Ancient Words to the kids and the prisoners and the police and the military. It's all because of you, people like you, at Oakwood Bible Church. So God bless you in your ministry, whatever facet you're into, whatever your gifts are. God bless you, Pastor, for allowing me to come and share today. And I just pray God's blessing on you in the future, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Pastor, there you are.
Thank you, Rick, for that great testimony. Well, as we receive our offering, as I mentioned earlier, if you make a check out, make that out to the Gideons. And if you're not prepared today, he did mention the envelope that's provided. I think you can also give online, if I'm not mistaken. If you go to Gideons International, you can do it that way. So I'd like us to just bow and ask God's blessing on this offering as we receive it. Father, it is a privilege for us to be engaged in a ministry of distribution of your word. Because as your scriptures tell us, the entrance into your word gives light. And we have heard testimony after testimony through the years of how people have been brought to Christ just by opening the book and reading it, and your spirit gives them light. And we know there will be more testimonies yet to come as long as these Bibles are placed. And as a Bible church, we are excited to be part of Bible distribution. So bless the offering now as we receive it, and we give it to you to be used through the hands of individuals who will take it to the places that it needs to go. And this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.